Welcome back, Gwen and Chris. Crisello, Tony Boone Jr. down at Petco Park. Scraby, alongside, we're having a special surprise guest coming up in this hour or next hour?
Yes, this hour.
This hour.
3:40.
And we'll have to do something with racing. No, that's...
Rasheed Rice driving away from the courthouse.
Blazing away from the scene when he got out of jail.
Tony, that's a real clip. That is a real clip.
He jumped in his car.
Really?
Yeah, he got out of jail.
He got out of jail, ran to his friend's car. His friend was the one driving, but they definitely sped away as fast as possible.
Sped away as possible, and that is the sound of Rasheed Rice's car that he jumped into. Away
it's
from
so
the scene.
And
of course, we're talking about a guy who's basically in jail because he drives 120 miles an hour. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Yes, we have a special guest coming up to talk about racing. It does have to do with the...
I mean, you could say it's all over the news.
Oh, all right. Well, it's NASCAR stuff.
Yeah.
But NASCAR, if you're a NASCAR fan, don't miss it. It's coming up and we'll give you the details. Before we get to any of that, Tony... I got to thank Jed York. He is this week's favorite human being on the planet, according to any sports talk show host.
Oh, man.
The gift that keeps on giving. By the way, he comes on the heels, of course, of his own head coach who, you know, put himself in harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
So who's the bigger goof here, Scraby? Kyle Shanahan, evidently texting as he was driving and almost getting in a wreck that tragically could have been a whole lot worse, or Jed York, who pleaded no contest to hooking up with a prostitute.
I don't think he got that far.
Well, he didn't get that far because now we're finding out that he remember you said yesterday, how could Jed York do something? Well, he was pretty cagey. He was using a pseudonym.
Joe was his pseudonym.
He was being Joe.
First thing I thought it was Montana. Why you got to do Joe like that?
I was using Joe as his name, and apparently this fictitious prostitute, he responded to her three times.
Yeah.
I mean, he was desperate to
get undercover police officer did not respond to the first two requests, and then they were finally like, man, I guess we got to arrest this guy.
We got
to
arrest this idiot.
He keeps trying to do this.
Yeah, we
got to
arrest this idiot.
He keeps trying to do this.
He wants to be arrested.
Not only this, the trailer park that he was arrested in is taking a PR hit. Because
the owner of the trailer park is upset now to be drawn into this mess.
Yes, because they don't want people to think that's where you go for prostitution.
Right. If I am the landlord or whoever,
yeah,
the owner
upset
of this trailer park area,
yeah,
I'm a little irritated right now. I know I thought it. Like,
yeah,
oh, is this where all the prostitutes go?
Trailer
to hang out with the wealthy?
I think it's like the Wheat Hill Trailer Park or
something. Yeah, it sounds classy. Sounds classy, but...
Hey, I've seen pictures.
This guy wants to make...
Let me go see what it actually is called.
This guy
what's the name of the trailer park?
Let me get the actual
the
name.
Wheat Hill Trailer
it's
Park.
It's something with wheat.
Oh, my goodness.
The police... I'm trying to figure out what this trailer park is.
You know, and God love him, but Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, yeah, Wheat Hill.
Wheat Hill Trailer Park.
Huh? Yeah, the owner said, I just got off the phone with the chief of police of East Palestine, Chief Weingert. According to the chief, Jed York was arrested in the park because that's where he happened to pull over. They were not using the address in the park as part of their sting operation.
Yeah, that is
fair.
That's important news. But that's what happens when you live in 2026, though. That was reported yesterday as though the trailer park was the kicking spot. Like that's where we gonna meet up, right?
He just pulled over there.
So Jed York should have pulled over like in the 49er complex so that we could have thought that's where all of this hooking up happens.
Oh my gosh.
What is going on with the 49ers?
I don't know.
Kyle Shanahan had to say, well, my view is it doesn't have effect on us as a team. Well, that's nice, Kyle. Of course, you did enough to have an effect.
I honestly believe him.
So.
I think that could be a source.
Oh, I don't think
source.
They care. Yeah, I don't think
care. That's a source of these dudes are going to be making fun of
yes.
their owner.
Yes.
Yeah, no, this isn't going to affect their team.
I don't think Jed York, I wouldn't have the guts to walk into that locker room the rest of the year.
The only thing I must say is that if one more little thing, Jed York.
Come on, dog. He's a billionaire. He does not care. He's going to walk into that locker room.
You know what?
He'll pay each guy $10,000 not to laugh at him.
You know what? He doesn't care because he did this. So he absolutely does not
care. Did you see his mugshot? His mugshot looked like, all right, this is you're wasting my time. Let's get this over with. I'm going to be out of here.
Here's my $1,100.
Right, let me get up out of here.
Can I leave so I can call the next one down on my list here? Hopefully that won't be a sting operation.
Oh, Jed. Oh. When they don't respond, Jed, I would assume that means no.
Well, he was, what is the old saying? Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
I don't know why the 9 a.m. detail.
Is that what they use for this situation? Absence makes the heart grow fonder?
Well, apparently. Or I guess hard to get, the old hard to get.
Maybe.
Well, I'm going to say this, Scraby, for sure, though. One more little incident having to do with the 49ers, though, and you guys start being the butt of jokes on Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, that's just to be the way it's going to go.
I think we might already be.
You might
to
already
that.
Be, yeah. So, yeah. 49ers,
laughing stock. How are you feeling about your Niners this year, by the way?
I don't feel great. I don't feel great.
Really?
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey, apparently.
Do you like the Debo signing?
I've heard Debo talk, and he has something to prove this year, so yes, I do like that signing.
Okay.
Well, we have to get our NFL picks here. We got a couple of weeks left. I think the 49ers, I mean, just based on what everybody says, the Rams are like the greatest team ever put together, and the Seahawks are coming off the Super Bowl. That in and itself is going to make it difficult.
They did
the 49ers.
The Athletic did a whole article today I was going to bring up later, but they projected how many wins each team would have. Mm. And I went to the Dolphins first.
Did they get more than one this time?
They predicted whether or not, or they said whether or not the projection was too low or too high.
Okay.
They said, I'm going to round it up, 5 wins, and they said that's too low.
They think they're going to win, the Dolphins
at
win
least
more
six
than
games.
Five.
They're saying at least 6 games.
Well, USA Today didn't think so. They gave them one.
They gave them. I don't understand that whatsoever. Now, they have the Chiefs at
who
10
who
wins.
Who won?
USA Today predicted every NFL outcome, and they had the Dolphins coming in at 1-16. So. Yeah.
There's no way.
That's what
I mean,
I
guess there is a way.
It's crazy. Tony, there's no way. You didn't. I mean, look, I sent you guys the stat. You guys blew it off. And I know it was a preseason game, but I watched a little of it. They not only lost to the Giants 26-3, but that was the number of first downs in the game, 26-3.
Yeah, that's bad.
Pretty bad. That's I don't care if you're just playing two-hand touch in the street. So Miami's got a long way to go.
They say, here's some of the surprises. Cincinnati Bengals, 10 wins. They say that's too low, which I'm not sure how you can predict.
But they've been saying this for the Bengals for about 5 years now. Haven't they? I mean, the Bengals every year, even Joe Burrow said, you know, every year is supposed to be our year, and then we go 6-11. He goes, so I'm not going to say anything this time.
Joe Burrow is a funny dude.
Because they went to the Super Bowl in 20, what year was it, 21?
Yeah.
Right? And so 22, 3, 4, 5, that's 4 straight years the Bengals have been like the big thing, and they've fallen short every time. Jamar Chase almost got knocked out big time today, too. Did you hear about that? Huge injury scare.
Yeah, he's okay though, right?
Apparently he's fine, but they were showing video of it. It wasn't good. Yeah, looks scary for a moment. Mm. Apparently he's going to be okay, but that could have been changed the Bengals season before it ever got started. Has anybody seen Dan Orlovsky's hair lately?
Yeah, we.
What's going on? Yeah, you and I were talking about this yesterday.
I don't know what's wrong with his hair. Like,
okay, so you're in on this.
What is he doing?
Yeah, that's what we said.
Yeah, it's like
look,
long,
if I can make a comment on hair, you know it looks a little goofy.
Chris, this is questions for you. Do you remember, what's the comedy? It was a comedy form, right? It was a dude, this is black and white. He had a little mustache, and then he had like a haircut, and he used to like kind of walk through the scenes. I know you know what I'm
Charlie
talking
Chaplin?
About.
Charlie Chaplin?
Wait a second. Oh, this is a cartoon?
No, this is a real, this is like a real show. Dude had a haircut just like this, but it was in black and white, so I can't think of it.
But
that's
it
what it reminded me of. I'm a figure it out on
yeah,
on
send
the
me a text, because I'm not making the connection.
Anyway, what is he doing with his
hair? Anyway, yeah, Orlovsky's hair looks like he got, my wife goes for these on a Sunday, what do they call it, a blowout? You get, you know, you go in there for $10 and they go, oh, and your hair just flops way up. Doesn't that look like that?
It does look weird.
You know, and the sides are completely shaved or very,
yeah,
very
tight. Yeah, I think
tight.
That's the part that makes it look rough to me. Is
and then the top is
the skin shave on the sides is strong.
Dan Orlovsky.
In a bad way.
Dan Orlovsky has forgotten that he was like the most embarrassing quarterback in history, and now he feels like he's becoming.
You know what's funny is they had to stop. They used to remind Dan. Matter of fact, I think it'll happen again every year. The anniversary of him stepping out of the end zone, in the back of the end zone, they usually have a full day of like just ragging on him for most of it.
And so, he's a pretty good sport about it.
He is a really good sport about it. I will give him that.
But
I don't know what he's doing with his haircut.
He is self-deprecating, and maybe that's why he has that haircut.
He has no choice but to be self-deprecating on that end zone thing.
If it were me,
he was out of the end zone by so far that it took the officials 5 minutes to actually call it. They were like, wait, something's wrong with this picture.
He made it look like it was the regular part of the end zone. That's how far he was.
It was a regular play. So the officials weren't kind of not even alert to it for a moment. They were like, hey, he's out of the back of the end zone. We got to do something about this. An all-time moment for sure. A couple of quick baseball notes. Mason Wynn, 10-day injured list. Broken left thumb.
That hurts
the Cardinals. He heard it sliding into second base. You wonder why they wear those oven mitt things. I guess that's why.
Mm-hmm. He might have did it on the double, right, where he couldn't get a chance to put the oven mitt on. I wasn't stolen base.
Let's see. He doesn't say. Just says sliding into second base. Nolan Gorman gets to come back up for the Cardinals, but probably going to be a little late for them. They're among the teams chasing the Padres, but they have a ways to go. I saw the Marlins lost another one last night, so they continue to stay off the pace a little bit, and it's starting to turn into a three team thing. You know, Phillies, Padres, and Arizona. Phillies' winning streak was finally snapped. But, you got to – I think – what do the odds say right now for the Padres? Have you looked at that, Scraby? The old –
for the World Series?
No. The – what is it? 60 – wow. They're up to 67% on ESPN playoff odds. That's a little higher than I would think, personally. But what do I know?
Not much, apparently.
Well, we've known that for a while.
That's funny, too.
I want to, before Tony leaves, because we got 5 minutes, I want to talk about how the Big Ten have banned NFL players from coming back to college.
Good thing Lane Kiffin doesn't coach in the Big Ten. He wouldn't have signed off on that.
Well, he's an SEC guy, and the SEC put out this high and mighty statement about how college sports is for college students. And they're against it as well. So
they are?
Yes. They do not like this.
They're not against it until Sankey says they're against
it.
Let me get the statement. Does that mean they're going to ban my man from LSU from going?
There is no way they're going to do it. And Lane Kiffin was on with Pat McAfee today. And he is now taking issue with both his own conference and the Big Ten for suggesting that he and LSU are doing anything that is untoward. In fact, he says it's all just a double standard right now. And he says there are 100 athletes who are cleared and that you said could go play. That's the court order. And now you're trying to change your mind and go back on. So Lane Kiffin is hiding behind
The court order. Where's the double standard that he talks of?
Because, Lane Kiffin always, pays attention to the law and everything, the letter of the law.
Here's what the SEC released on social media. Former professional athletes have been at the heart of the Southeastern Conference. Individuals who choose to leave college athletics, sign professional playing contracts, and compete professionally should not then be permitted to return to college competition. Allowing that to occur will blur the line between college and professional sports. It's already happened. Create significant competitive equity concerns and reduce opportunities for high school and current college athletes. College sports are for college athletes. The current confusion around national eligibility standards emphasizes the need to advance the Protect College Sports Act. How did this become a political thing all of a sudden?
Okay, no. So you know what that tells me?
What?
Nothing. Because I did not hear the word Big Ten. They put it in writing.
Yes,
they did. It is a rule. Yes. You cannot come back and play. That was all nice and fun with the SEC put in an Instagram statement. But they didn't make a rule saying you can't play. That means my man from LSU will play unless Sankey, who is like the OG of all conferences. Once he speaks, that's when I believe the SEC is.
Who is the original OG of the OGs, like in the world of OGs?
I don't
who
think anybody did. Anybody know a conference president's like, name be notori- before? Like
no, I'm
10
talking
years
about
ago?
Like Notorious B.I.G. Who was the original OG?
Nah.
No,
we
I mean,
didn't start
go,
hearing
well, me...
about OGs until like Ice-T and those guys were making music back in the day.
Ice-T.
So I don't really know.
Well,
who
I
the
just
want to
know
OG
what
was.
Sankey should be compared to, because you're right, Tony. He is the king of the whole thing.
He's him right now.
Yeah, I mean, would he? He's beyond Dr. Dre. He's, you know, never mind. Chris,
Snoop
don't be
Dogg.
Yeah, yeah, forget
I don't know. I don't know. I can't correlate with the two that we're trying to.
I just want to say,
I see what you're putting down, though.
Yeah, Kiffin said that there are schools, other schools that offered, and he's talking about the tight end that is, you know, going to LSU. He said there are other schools that offered him to come there in this conference, but he chose us. So basically, Lane Kiffin, they were just sitting there minding their own business at LSU, and he came knocking on the door.
Victims.
And yeah, they're, you know, they had no choice but to save this kid. He's, you know, on his way to living on the street. And then
it also feels like he's trying to throw the other teams under the bus.
Right.
But Lane, here's the deal. If they would have signed him and we would be talking about those other schools the same way.
Nah, Lane
100%.
No, Lane is just, you know, like he said, get ready, guys. This is going to be Lane Kiffin doing something else no one else is doing. Guess what? You are doing it, then. You're, at the moment, the only one doing it.
Right.
So
right.
What else are we supposed to... Yeah, Lane Kiffin is... you heard the guy from Mississippi yesterday. Tony, were you still with us? That they brought the FBI... The FBI swept the Old Miss offices looking
for
bugs.
I read that. I wasn't on here.
Well, I mean, if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about Lane Kiffin, and the guy from Old Miss, and they said, do you really need the FBI to check for bugs? He goes, look, Lane Kiffin worked here. I know this guy, you know? Like, you don't know what I know. So, yes, we had to check for this kind of stuff because he would do that if he had the chance. That's an embarrassment if you're Lane Kiffin, if you ask me. But I don't think if Lane Kiffin cares.
No, he clearly doesn't.
No. The I care what people think of me ship has sailed for Lane Kiffin a long time ago.
I wish I had that clip. I had that, like, ingrained in me deep.
What? Did you care what anybody thought?
I didn't care what anybody thought about me. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I think
like,
you do, though, Tony. You're too good of a guy. Because I mean,
I am a good guy. I think that's all true. But I think I think that trait is in a lot of people that are very successful. Because
this
may be the extreme in the way that rubs people the wrong way. I'm not necessarily saying that. I'm saying that if you have the ability to just keep pushing, regardless of how people may feel of you, people feel this way about LeBron James, right? He still keep pushing. I think that's a good trait to have for most people.
It's a healthy trait to have when used properly.
It's a healthy trait to have as long as you're not stepping on everybody's head on the way up.
Right. I think you can have that trait and not step on people's faces.
Remember what I said yesterday? To be a top-tier college football coach, you need to be shameless. You just need to not care.
Well, I'd like to believe that you could do it the nice way, but I know that's pie in the sky at this point. So.
Nice guys finish last.
All right, Leo DeRocher.
That's what I've been told my entire life, Chris.
Hmm?
Nice guys finish last.
Yeah, well, that's why you're in the cellar? Is that what you're trying to say?
All right, time for break.
You're a nice guy?
Yeah, I'm a nice guy.
Bye, guys.
I need
to see you, Tony.
Bye, Tony. We'll see you later.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center.
6. Mr. Ello, Mr. Scraby, Mr. Gwynn down at Petco Park. Tony is on with Don again tonight?
Yes, next two games.
Mark Grant vacay continues.
Yes.
Good for Mark.
By the way, they're not, Don and Mud are not breaking
up. Oh, my God.
Up.
We get this all the time.
Every time Tony fills in, I get questions.
Every time they're off for a couple days here or there.
Why is Tony filling in? Is that because Don and Mud are fighting? No. It means that Mud is taking some time off.
At least nobody says, hey, are Jesse and Tony fighting?
That is very true.
right? They could be fighting, and then Tony's just demanded to be switched over to TV to get away from Jesse.
That is also not true.
That's not true. What could be true is that he demanded to go over to Don because he wants to get away from Dave Marcus.
That could be true.
That could be true.
By the way,
last week, you know, they had the Don and Mud gotten devoted number one broadcast team on Awful Announcing.
Yes.
Awful Announcing this week is, I think, from what I'm told, that website is doing the voting for best radio.
Yes.
Baseball broadcast.
I'm
going to
tweet
right?
it out, 97.3 The Fan SD, but they're asking people to vote for the best radio duo in baseball.
Give Tony and Jesse some love on that one. Get to the Awful Announcing website there. Okay, we're going to do something different with the Daily Gambit today. I'll tell you what it is once Scraby plays the intro.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Chris, back to you.
All right. Nothing for tonight, but I thought it'd be fun to go through some of the NFL preseason futures odds. Just to give you an idea who's being, you know, counted on to do what this year.
Okay.
And so what we're going to do, here's how we're going to do this, Scrape. We've got a few minutes here. I'm going to give you the division. You tell me which team has the best odds to win it and the worst odds to win it. Each division.
Okay.
Some of them will be easier than others, but I think you'll see what I'm talking about. Like, start with the NFC West. Who is favored to win the NFC West right now?
Probably the Rams.
Yeah, the Rams. Clearly, not only the Rams favored, they are twice as low on the odds as any other team in football to win the Super Bowl. I mean, what did they do in the offseason? Nothing other than
Miles Garrett.
Possibly
Aaron Donald.
And adding Aaron Donald, yeah. So those are the things. But the Rams are like, everyone just thinks they're like Super Bowl champs for sure.
Yeah.
All right, lowest team in that division is pretty easy.
Cardinals.
And the Cardinals are actually a longer shot to win the Super Bowl in Vegas odds right now than the Dolphins. That's how bad the Cardinals are.
Jeez. Yeah, if there's one team that's going to win one game, it will likely
be the Cardinals.
Yes.
All right, NFC East, who is favored to win it?
It's got to be the Eagles.
Still the Eagles, yeah, they're still on top. And who's the longest shot on the board in NFC East?
It's got to be the Giants.
It is. It's still the Giants. I just think, you know, Jim Harbaugh is going to find a way. I don't know if he can catch Jaden Daniels, but I think he can catch the Cowboys. I know the Cowboys are the Cowboys are always, you know, lower odds than they should be.
Everybody's talking about the Cowboys. Like, watch out.
What do they have?
Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb.
Oh yeah. Sorry, Super Bowl. All right. Let's go to the NFC North. I think this is a tough division.
This is the toughest.
Who is favored right now in the NFC North by the odds?
By the odds,
yeah,
and hype, I would have to say the Bears.
Yeah, you would think. The Bears are currently the third choice.
Really?
Third choice.
That is shocking.
In the division. So pick who you think's better odds than
I guess the Lions.
The Lions are the second choice.
So the Packers are picked away.
The Packers have the lower odds than any of them. Obviously, that leaves the Vikings for last because there's nobody else left. You'd have to pick them.
I'm surprised by that.
But that is surprising to me, too, that the Packers would be the choice in that division. All right, NFC South. All four teams
this
are
is a
pretty
bad division.
They're all pretty low. But who's favored to win? Remember last year, 8-9 won this division.
Yep.
We're going to talk to Matt Snyder about Matt Snyder, CBS Sports later. He's the baseball guy, you know. But under Matt Snyder's rules, nobody would have gone to the playoffs from the NFC South last year. We'll talk about that a little later for baseball. But who's favored?
I'm going to have to give it to the division champs from last year, the Panthers.
Yeah, they're not. It's the Buccaneers.
See, I don't get that.
Yeah, they tied, right? And I think the Buccaneers have a bigger name than the Panthers do.
I thought about them, but I also thought
Yeah, well, they have the lowest odds. Who has the highest odds in that division? It's tough because all the teams are about the same, really. Falcons, yeah. I said this to you the other day, and you didn't disagree with me. The two worst teams in football this year very easily could be Tua's current team and former team.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
They're playing they're playing each other in preseason this week, anybody wants to tune in. All right, AFC West, we got a couple minutes left. Who do you have for the division favorite?
I'm going to say the Broncos.
You would think, right?
The Chiefs?
No. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Chiefs first.
Yes.
Chargers second. And then Broncos. Obviously, the Raiders would be picked last.
Wow.
In the odds. That's just the odds. But it's a little surprising.
That is surprising.
Chargers and Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes' factor is a lot.
It is a lot.
That's all you can
say.
He's
looking to be back for week one, too.
AFC East, who's favored here?
It's got to be
the Super Bowl team last year.
I know, but it's got to be the Bills, right?
It is. Yeah, it is the Bills. Patriots are picked behind
them. Are they going to pick the Dolphins last in this one?
Yes, they're at the bottom, under the Jets, even. I know. It's how low can you go?
I need to get a sad Dolphin.
I know. That one actually sounds like there's some hope.
Yes, it does. Sounds like, hey,
yeah, maybe something.
We're going to be okay.
All right, AFC North, who's favored here? This team's overrated every year.
Is it the Steelers?
Oh, no, no.
The Ravens?
Yeah, the Ravens. Everybody always thinks the Ravens
are going to win. When you said overrated, I was like, I guess
they have... No, I said they're overrated every year. They were overrated last year. They were only 8-9. Lowest in that division. I don't even think that's a contest.
Browns.
And then finally, AFC South. Who do you have here? And it's, I think this is pretty cut and dry as who's the favorite.
Jaguars?
Actually, it's not cut and dry. Yeah, you're right. The Jaguars were pretty good last year. No, they have the Texans here.
Well, it's because of the defense.
Yeah, they have the Jags falling down quite a bit, at least odds-wise. Bottom of the barrel for that division. Pretty easy.
Titans.
Yes. All right, so we'll see how that turns out.
That's it.
Yeah, that's everything.
All right.
All right, so that's how the odds are looking at it. Overall, it's the Rams. If in order this is to win the Super Bowl, top five, Rams, Bills, Ravens, Seahawks, and then Eagles, Patriots, Chiefs all tie.
I hate all of those teams.
You hate them all.
I hate them all.
Well, it could be a long season for you then, my friend.
It could be.
All right, we got, what are we doing next?
We're talking to our NASCAR
interview.
San Diego, Amy Lupo.
Huge NASCAR news.
Huge.
Coming up. All right, one of the greatest things that happened in America's finest city this year has already happened. Maybe there's some great things ahead. Chris Ello, Mr. Scraby, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park. But the NASCAR race that took place on Coronado, the Navy
of course
base this summer, mm-hmm. was just a humongous thing and just a huge hit. And
yes.
Everyone loved it.
Yep.
And I think one of the might have been one person, you know, who got caught on the traffic and the bridge.
But, yeah, who cares?
You know, that's their problem
for not knowing
what's going on. But hey, Amy Lupo, NASCAR San Diego president, is with us. And she was with us before the big event earlier this summer. And what I remember, Amy, thanks for joining us on the show. We appreciate the time. But what I remember talking about the most with you was, if this is a success this year, could we have it potentially again next year? And you're here to tell us some good news about that.
We can have nice things. See?
Yeah.
We're very, very excited to let San Diegans know that we will be returning to Naval Air Station North Island next summer. It is going to be about a month later, so it'll be July 30th through August 1st weekend. It'll be after 4th of July, after Comic-Con, after Father's Day. So we are excited to have the calendar cleared for a great summer weekend on Coronado.
It was incredible, right? I'm going to get Scraby in here because he wants to ask you a bunch of stuff. But I just want to give me your rundown of how exciting, how great this turned out this year, and how much this had to do with the fact that it almost seems like it was a no-brainer to bring it back next year.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of an unknown on all sides, right? The Navy didn't know us. We didn't know the Navy. Same thing with the cities of San Diego and Coronado. And we all took a leap of faith together and said, let's figure this out. And you know, for the most part, it worked. We've obviously got some fine-tuning to do here and there, but as an event overall, we couldn't be more excited with the product we delivered in June.
We're talking to Amy Lupo, a NASCAR San Diego president here on the SDCCU fan hotline. It's not Big Bank Banking, it's better. And I saw in the release that you said that, or I read that a bunch of you who led this San Diego event talked about it afterwards and said there were some things that you need to improve. So I'm curious, what were some of the things that you thought needed improving upon from last year?
Yeah, I think, you know, with any first-time event, there's going to be some unknowns, right? And so we did really lots of work in fan communication and telling people to arrive early and make sure they had their government issued ID and to carpool, and they listened. So we had big crowds at 9 a.m. when the gates opened for a race that didn't start till 4 o'clock. So I think it's now managing the expectations of these fans who followed the orders and understood the mission and showed up on site. What are we doing to provide a great full-day experience from them, whether it's enhancing the F&B or providing some more on-site entertainment. So all things that are easily fixable that we're excited to put into work for this year.
Amy Lupo, the NASCAR San Diego president, here with great news for even if you're not a NASCAR fan and you are an event, but if you're a sports fan, just knowing this is coming again to San Diego next summer, July 30th, August 1st, that weekend, 2027, NASCAR will be coming back for a second year. The race itself, Amy, was incredible. Corey Heim ended up winning the big one, but 75 laps, the way it was all laid out with twists and turns, it wasn't an oval. I think the people loved that, and it sounded like them. We talked to a couple drivers. You were nice enough to get on with us before the race. They loved that. So just the whole thing, you know, was a big hit. And, you know, I imagine there's going to be other places that want to have these more of the road courses rather than the oval, you know, if and when they can.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely biased, but, you know, this location hits every single mark. I mean, I kept warning my colleagues from the East Coast about June gloom, we might not burn off till 1. We never had it. It was picture-perfect San Diego weather all 3 days. So you start there, and you've got a good thing going. You know, many NASCAR races have been plagued with weather and rain and all the things, and we're just not going to have that there. Then you layer in this commitment to the United States Navy, which NASCAR's always been about supporting the military, but here we are showing it to the world, which was so exciting. And then, you know, just being on Coronado, there was such a mystique of what happens at that naval base. So to be able to open that up and let people see it, it was just the perfect weekend.
We're talking to Amy Lupo, and we're talking about NASCAR coming back to San Diego. Last one for me. I know that the track was it was a favorite of drivers. Drivers said some good things about it. I was watching the Saturday race. There were a lot of yellow flags, so I was a little nervous about the main event, but everything went well. Is there any changes coming to the track, or do you think you're largely going to keep it the same?
I think there'll be some small tweaks and adjustments that we make in conjunction with the drivers. You know, we have the luxury of the iRacing digital program that people are actually able to race this in their basements and living rooms. And so drivers will be able to give us some feedback and adjustments. But on the whole, we're all very happy with the course, with the layout. We did a ton of work on the roads at Naval Air Station North Island to ensure, you know, a military installation that was built in 1917 wasn't primarily constructed to race stock cars. So we had to make some road repairs to ensure that happens, and now we all feel like we've got the track in a good place as well to showcase it again next July.
Well, I think it's imperative, too, that we have this in San Diego County. I mean, let's be honest, man. We have one of the greatest NASCAR drivers in the history of the sport.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson.
Who is from San Diego, or, you know, El Cajon in our area, right? Jimmy Johnson. And he was in the race last year. He's 50 years old. He's, you know, still out there battling with these young whippersnappers. I'll never forget, Amy, just a fun little aside. I had Jimmy on many, many years ago, and I asked him probably the age-old question, you know, what he does when he's on the freeway and somebody's going a little too slow for him. And he said, no big deal. I just give him a little tap on the bumper. And I always remember him saying that. But just to have San Diego, I mean, this is a place that really should be involved in NASCAR because of Jimmy. And, you know, he's done so much for the sport. Now the sport is given back to our community. So I think it's a great combination, don't you?
absolutely. He's such a great ambassador on both sides for NASCAR and San Diego, and he was so generous with his time, came into market to meet sailors in advance and spend time with them. We got him down to Petco, and he threw out the first pitch at the Dodgers Pod Series. So he was absolutely involved on every level, and we're all staying positive he chooses this track to race one more time for us.
I would just like to put in my name first for any celebrity rides around the, or maybe not celebrity, but
you're noted.
Noted. Yes, I want to be a part of this, Chris.
They can't have the track ruined before the race starts.
I don't care.
You'll drive up and take out a whole section of seats up there.
I was so jealous of everybody who got to get in those cars. So I'm gonna hold you to that, Amy.
Well, Amy, we really don't listen to him. We appreciate you coming on the show. We'll just take having you on the show, and if we get to talk to some drivers next summer. But I know people around San Diego who it was just such a great event, and everyone was buzzing about it. And so to be able to tell everybody it's coming back next year, great, great news, Amy. Congrats, and thanks so much for the time. Good luck.
Thank you so much. We're so excited. And if you joined us last year, we're so excited to let you know you can get your tickets today, because we did sell out last year. So we're really hoping for a repeat.
Wow. Okay, where do they tickets go for that? Tickets are available today. Okay, why don't you tell us real quick if there's...
Yeah, where you go?
Yeah, if you joined us last year, you would have received an email today to be able to place your deposit, and then you can visit NASCARSanDiego.com if not, to be notified when tickets go on sale to the public. But right now, we're taking care of the folks who joined us last year.
Awesome. Isn't that nice? Okay, that's the way I think it should be. Yes. Take care of the people who were there.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks so much. We'll catch up to you soon. Amy
Thank
Lupo,
you.
Yeah, NASCAR San Diego president, and NASCAR's coming back. That's great news. You talked about it, kind of been buzzing around a little earlier, but I'm sure a lot of people are hearing about it for the first time on that interview, that it's coming back, and I'm excited about it. So.
I'm going this year. I couldn't make it down there for the last one, but I am definitely going this year, especially if I get put in one of those cars.
Well, I how old I am, and the noise, Graby, the noise.
Just wear some earplugs.
I know. But
just wear some earplugs.
Well, the thing is I'm,
You can't hear anyway.
That's what I was getting to.
I was just thinking, what is the point? Who
I can't
cares
hear
about
anything
the noise?
Anyway, so maybe I should, it shouldn't be a problem to go down there. But I think I was actually out of town. I had a good excuse why I didn't go this time around. But next year, now make sure we tell Braden, though, that the race is coming back next year, but they are still not driving over the bridge on the course.
I really wanted to ask that, but I felt like 2 years in a row would have been a little overkill.
Right, it was funny last year. There would have been this time is enough.
They're
enough.
Okay, this guy really can't get over this bridge thing.
One of my favorite stories broken by Braden Soprenant last year.
They're going to drive over the bridge.
And we were like, that sounds pretty good.
I was in.
Yeah, I was in until somebody was like, well, what happens if there's an accident that's not good?
Would you ever want to drive one of those cars around a track as fast as you can? I mean, I've been dying to do this for my entire life.
I got to say that I think I would sign up.
You have to.
I mean, they lock you in there pretty good, right? You're safe.
Yeah, I don't even know if I would be driving. I might just get a ride along with a professional driver, which would be even more incredible
I might be telling out of school, because I do talk about this all the time. You idiots who drive 110 miles an hour on the freeway, and I can't stand any of you who buzz in and out of traffic. And I know I'm probably not talking to any of you right now, because I think, most reasonable people
do not listen to
Most reasonable people, might get up to 80, you're trying to get the worker, but you're not going 110 going in and out of traffic, these morons out there. However, if you've ever been on a road I don't want to say too late at night, but whenever the time is, there's nobody around. Have you ever pushed it up to 90, 100 on the freeway?
Me?
Yeah.
Allegedly, yes.
Okay. Because I tried it once, and I mean, it scared the daylights out of me, and I went right back down to 75.
No. I'm the guy who's like,
you liked
let's
it.
Go faster.
Really? You liked it.
I don't know why, but we've talked about this before. I am an adrenaline junkie. Jump out of planes. I like to
do things that scare me.
I like to do things that get your heart moving.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess I don't have the need for speed like that. But I will tell you that I think if there was a NASCAR event type thing where we were kind of down there and I know it was pretty well supervised, I'd be pretty willing to push the pedal down and see what happened.
I think you would.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty,
it's like,
pretty exciting.
I think I've said this
experience.
Before, but I had a friend whose wife works in media here. She got to do the Blue Angels ride along.
Yeah.
I would pay for that experience.
You'd leave your stomach back at the
I don't even care. I want to do it. I grew up wanting to be a fighter pilot, Chris.
Well, too bad for all of us. It didn't work out.
I know. Paul Steens and I could be fighter pilots.
We're stuck with you over here.
Can you imagine me in the
military? You could be up at Top Gun right now.
Don't even get me
started. You could be listening to the show rather than doing the show.
I heard, actually, I can't remember which baseball player Jesse was talking about, but his dad did the Top Gun program.
What do you mean?
Like,
he was
one
that
of the baseball
of a
player
pilot that
he was
got?
In the Top Gun program. I can't remember who it was, but that's awesome.
You'll have to check on that.
Have you seen the second Top Gun?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
You know they're making a third.
Of course they are.
I liked it.
With all due respect, I wish they would just stop that for all movies.
What, the continuous sequels?
I mean, as good as Toy Story was,
okay.
Toy Story 19 is just a few too many.
I recently saw Toy Story 5 with my nieces.
Yeah, I know.
It was the same Toy Story we've already seen.
What's left?
The kid gets too old. You have to figure out a way to get back in their good graces. This time, though, the toy that was making everything bad for them was like a tablet.
Somebody think of a new idea out there.
I don't think we can. I think we've done everything.
That might be the case. All right. NASCAR coming back next summer. Very exciting. Looking forward to having that again. Jimmy Johnson, will he race? Next year, he would be 51.
I think he's fine.
Huh?
I mean, Mark Martin seemed like he was 65 when he was still racing.
Most NASCAR championships in history, tie. Richard Petty, Dale Earnhardt, Jimmy
JJ.
Johnson. Yeah, it's pretty impressive right there. All right, more Gwen and Chris ahead. 4 o'clock, that means Chris versus the fans. We'll play some trivia. 833-288-0973.